Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Addiction Unlimited podcast, where you get to learn everything you want to know about addiction and recovery. I'm your host, Angela Pugh, co-founder of Kansas City Recovery, life coach, and recovering alcoholic. To learn more about me, you can listen to episode zero on your podcast app or find us on the web at addictionunlimited.com. Hey, everybody, welcome to episode number 97 of the Addiction Unlimited podcast. I'm your coach, Angela Pugh, helping you get that sober life you want. Thank you for spending some time with me today listening to the pod. And man, what a crazy time we're in right now. The toilet paper apocalypse, that's what we're living through right now. We may survive COVID-19, but none of us will be able to clean our asses, okay? It's interesting, you know, because in a lot of ways, I'm very removed from normal people life. And when I say normal people life, I don't think any of you are normal, okay? Let's be clear. but you followed the social norms, right? Married, kids, homeowners, 401k, like all the norms. And for me, I've always followed my own path and done my own thing and done it my way because it's just who I am. And I say all of that to explain to you how far removed I've been from this like coronavirus hysteria. I don't see much news. You know, I stopped watching news during the last election because our whole country turned so hateful and ugly to one another. I just didn't want to be a part of it. It's actually really embarrassing to me to see people's behavior and to know that, like, that's what the rest of the world thinks of America. Like, it's just embarrassing to me. And I actually really love politics, but in true America style, we turned it into a giant soap opera and ruined it. But I'm pretty far removed, right? So I don't see a lot of news. I already work for myself and work remote, so I don't have coworkers and an office building to worry about. I don't have kids, so schools being canceled doesn't really affect me, right? So I'm just cruising along, business as usual, kind of oblivious to what's been happening in the world because I live in my own little bubble and create my own world. I had no understanding how all of this was affecting people and their families. And this is really what I want to talk about today is the impact this is having on us as individuals, how to protect our sobriety during extra difficult times like this, and how to manage the anxiety that comes with all of these weird circumstances that we're faced with. Many people are now working from home. Office buildings are closed down, obviously restaurants. I think most of the grocery stores are still open. I know a lot of them have shortened their hours. Gyms are closing. Schools are closing, right? Kids are home. In my state, just yesterday, they canceled school for the rest of the year. They just announced it yesterday, like done for the rest of the year. And everybody's kind of talking about like, what the heck are we going to do? And I think for me, like I was just cruising along business as usual. It hasn't really affected my business, so to speak. But I was hearing a lot of my friends talking about, especially coaching friends, right? Talking about their appointments drying up, like people aren't scheduling and they're getting scared. They're getting in some financial insecurity, right? Because we don't know what's going to happen. And are people really not purchasing? And I posted this in the Facebook the other day because I had like two friends in one day that are not entrepreneurs, but they have their own private practice. They work for themselves. And they were talking about this exact thing, like, oh my gosh, I look at my calendar for the next 2 weeks, like nothing's going on. My phone's not ringing. I don't know what I'm going to do. And I started thinking, like, are people not spending money? And I posted this in the Facebook group. I was like, am I missing something? Are people not spending money? Like, I don't understand. And one of my girlfriends in California, who I adore, she's fabulous. And she actually called me and she's like, Angela, no, people aren't spending money. Everybody's freaking out. Their kids are home. People are losing their jobs. Like, I didn't know people were losing their jobs. I didn't know that was happening. Like, why would people lose their jobs? But when you think about it, the economy is going down. People aren't leaving their houses. Obviously, a lot of businesses are going to be affected. The travel industry, my very best friend works for a ginormous resort hotel in Phoenix, and a ton of people are getting laid off, right? Because all their numbers are down. So I think because I'm just in my little bubble, I don't recognize these things, right? Because I'm not a part of that world. So it's been really interesting for me to see the true impact this is having on people and the fear that's coming up because of it. And I do want to talk a lot about that stuff because I don't want everybody going off the rails. Like, this is a tough situation. I get that. And the stock market, right? It's all really weird and scary and causes a lot of stress and fear, financial insecurity, fear of the future. And I really would love it if we could just keep it together, try our best not to fall apart, have some really strong coping mechanisms, right? So we're not turning back to drugs and alcohol, and just get through this challenging time together. More than anything, let's just get through it together. And for those of you that are not in our Facebook group, I really recommend you get over there and join the Facebook group, facebook.com/groups/addictionunlimited. I'm doing a lot of really cool stuff in there. I'm doing free online meetings. I say online groups because I don't do anything AA specific or Smart Recovery or Celebrate Recovery. I like to just have a recovery conversation because, of course, I don't like to follow anybody's rules, right? So if I did an online AA or NA meeting, then I have to follow their rules. And I don't want to follow anybody's rules. I like my own rules. That's why I do all of this stuff on my own. That's why I have a podcast. That's why I created my business. That's why I have my courses, because I like my way and I like my rules. And my rules are, let's love everybody. And I don't care what your path to sobriety is, as long as you have a path to sobriety. I want to support you in that. And I want to help you do it to the best of your ability. And I want to help you be successful. So we're doing some online groups, right? Super laid back. We have a lot of fun. You guys know I do Monday night group coaching. That's always been a thing. And this is free. I'm just throwing some of these together for people to register and do this for free because I want to support you guys getting through this difficult time and making sure that we get through it the best that we can. And we cannot do it alone. So if you want to know more about those groups, as I'm posting them, I'm only posting them in the Facebook group. So I suggest you get your little buns over there and join the Facebook group so you can jump on some of these online meetings we're going to be doing. And I'm going to be doing a couple a day, right? I'm trying to do one later at night so that it's available for people, certainly my people on the West Coast. I have a lot of people in California and they're 2 hours earlier than me. So I'm trying to do some later in the nighttime for me so that our folks on the West Coast can join us also. Also for our people in England and Australia, New Zealand, right? I'm trying to do some different time slots to accommodate as many people as I can. But you're only going to find out about it in the Facebook group. So get your buns over there and join the Facebook group. So one of the things I want to touch on really quickly that just came up in the Facebook group the other day, this is one of these stumbling points for people when they want to get sober, right? You guys, drinking and using drugs takes up a lot of hours in a day, right? It truly numbs you for many, many, many hours. And where I think people struggle is they think that they're just going to stop drinking and not have the next drink, but they don't want to put anything in all of those hours that they would have spent drinking. So if you want to just not drink and sit around and obsess about not drinking, you're going to lose the battle. You have to fill those empty time slots. You cannot all of a sudden have an additional 8 to 10 hours a day of nothing to do, right, that you normally would have numbed out with booze, and just leave those hours empty. You are not going to win that battle, okay? And this is why we say, or this is why I say, I don't know if anybody else says it, but for me, being sober and being in recovery is about building a new life, right? I can't just quit drinking and remain the same selfish, self-centered, lying jerk off I was when I was drunk, right? I'm not going to stay sober if I remain the same jerk off. I have to rebuild myself, my self-esteem. I have to rebuild my life so that I'm living a life that I'm proud of as a human being that I'm proud to be. That doesn't just happen because you stop drinking. So you've got to fill in your time. You have to spend time with yourself, figure out who you are. What do you like to do? You have to figure out some hobbies. You have to figure out how to expend your energy in positive ways that you feel good about, okay? One of our favorite Facebook people, and of course, because it's a private group, I will not say their name, but wrote in the Facebook group the other day, "Does anyone else struggle with finding out what their passions used to be? I can only read, study, meditate, go to meetings, and work out so much before I start losing my damn mind. Granted, I love all those things, but I know that's been a downfall of mine in the past. Not knowing what I like to do or having hobbies leads to a lot of downtime, and that's just not good for my mental state." Amen. It is not good for your mental state. There's no question. And here's the truth, especially in early sobriety. Your brain is not your friend, right? Your brain has been brainwashed by booze. It has been completely hijacked. Your brain is functioning with a completely different purpose than what you're functioning with, okay? Your brain has an entirely different agenda than you do in early sobriety. You have to retrain it to be on your team. It is not on your team. It has been poisoned. Literally, you have poisoned it. So it is not functioning with your best interest in mind. It has its own agenda. It wants booze. It wants to be fed because that's what is normal for it. And your brain is in survival mode. It wants to drink because it thinks it needs to drink. So if you think that you want to sit around and spend a lot of quality alone time with your brain when its agenda is so far different from your agenda, again, you're going to lose the battle. You've got to fill in your time and figure out things to do. And I'll tell you what I commented back to this person in the Facebook group. I said, for me, I love classes, dance classes, cooking classes. This year, I started doing some new workout classes, and that has been amazing and is totally kicking my ass in a good way. I've done some photography meetups. I've found some gatherings in my city about social media marketing and entrepreneur stuff, and I love all things about business. I just hired an online Spanish tutor because I speak Spanish and I want to get better. And he's only $16 a session. And I spend some time on Google looking up what's happening in my city, and I always try new stuff. I went to the car show last weekend. I actually go every year because I'm car obsessed. We have a couple of great touristy spots in KC that are always having cool events and exhibits. Another really fun excursion is to get out and try new restaurants when they open in your city. There are always some great 5K walks and runs you can do. They are great and good to support different causes. I walk, not run, in the suicide prevention 5K every year and various others to support mental health and addiction. I also do a breast cancer one regularly. Being sober is amazing because you can do everything. And that was my response. That's a lot of stuff that I just put in there. And this is where like people ask me like, well, what do you do when you're sober? And I always say, I do whatever I want because that's the truth. I wake up in the morning, I'm clear-headed, I have energy, I can do whatever the hell I want. I don't have any restrictions as a sober person. I'm not hungover, I'm not grumpy, being a jerk. Right? Like I can go do whatever I want. I didn't blow all my money on booze, so I can afford to go do some other things. And to be honest, there's a ton of stuff to do that's absolutely free. Where the block is in your head, right? The block is you look at things and you get lazy. Well, I don't know if I want to do that. I don't want to drive there. I don't know. I don't know if I would like that. Right? You get lazy. If you want to have a good life, then get off your butt and make a good life, right? It's not going to come to you. Life isn't going to knock on your door and go, hey, can I be a fun life for you? No, build it. Put energy into it. Don't be lazy. I'll go try all kinds of stuff that I don't think I'll like just to be doing things. My poor family, I rope them into all kinds of goofy stuff, you know, going, especially at holidays, like going to the pumpkin patch or the corn maze. I love doing that stuff in the fall. And I didn't even get them to do that last year. I'm slacking. But I love doing all kinds of silly stuff, you guys, because it's having fun. And I love to spend that time with the people I love. And I have to get off my butt and do something. If I want to have a life I enjoy, I have to put energy into it. If I want to get comfortable at meetings, I have to go many, many times over to get comfortable. If I want to have sober friends, I have to go where the sober people are, and I have to get through my anxiety and discomfort to actually show up to those places and say hi to people. Like, sober friends are not going to show up on your doorstep asking to be your friend. You have to go where they are, you have to be uncomfortable, and you have to say hi. That's how you make friends, especially sober friends, because there's not as many of us, so you have to really try. But that's my point. And this is a lot of the same stuff that we're going to talk about today in this coronavirus drama, right? Like, now people are left with a lot of time and not a lot of money. And I want to really talk about some things we can do to be refocusing our energy, because I think it's really kind of the American way, unfortunately, to be very negative, you know, and you know, that's how I was, you know, that was the first thing in early sobriety that I noticed about myself that I put really conscious energy into changing was my negativity, because I acted like literally everything on the planet was a huge pain in the ass. Everything bothered me. I mean, I would open my dishwasher and it needed to be emptied, and I'd be like, oh God, I have to empty the dishwasher. Like, that 3 minutes is really going to put me out. But I was like that with everything. I approached everything like it was a pain and I didn't want to do it because I was lazy and I was negative and I was just a little bit of a POS. Like, I really needed an attitude adjustment. And I see this in a lot of my friends and stuff too. I even was at this sale, and I'm not even going to say who I was with because I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. But I was at this sale and this person was like, it was a going out of business sale. And I go, hey, do you want to go look at your favorite jeans before we leave since everything is super inexpensive? Oh yeah, let's go check that out. We walked over there, and typically the jeans are always folded, and we walked over there and he was like, oh, they're hanging? What am I supposed to do with that? I was like, what the fuck are you talking about? Find your size and go flip through the hangers and see if they have any jeans you want. But he literally responded like this was the worst situation. Like, it was putting him out so much. I was like, dude, you don't have anywhere to be. Like, the store doesn't have to do it your way. Like, but it was just one of those moments that was such a reminder, because that's exactly who I used to be. Everything was a pain. If I didn't get the closest parking spot to the door, it's like, oh my God, I can't believe I have to park so far away. Well, I promise you, I could use the exercise of taking those extra 25 steps to get in the store, right? But that's how I approached everything. And I do feel like this is more common than uncommon. And that's what I really want to get into, right? Is our attitude and how we're approaching these things, especially in this time that is high stress. There's a lot of fear. There's a lot of anxiety. All right. This is the time that we have to really dig deep and we have to remember the fundamental things that we are grateful for in our lives. And there was another comment posted in the Facebook group that I really loved. Somebody said, how does one go about gaining clarity over what their needs are? A trusted person I know said to me, you worry your needs aren't going to get met. Do you actually know what your needs really are? Maybe I don't. Any thoughts on this or suggested material to use to explore this? And I said, the first thing that comes to mind for me is all the things that we overlook and take for granted. Our homes, cars, refrigerators full of food, healthy bodies that allow us to live life and work and be parents, our ability to exercise to regulate our own anxiety and depression, jobs, families, televisions, computers, Netflix, fresh water, plumbing and electricity. For most of us, the only threat is general discomfort. That doesn't mean we won't have financial struggles or daycare struggles or boredom struggles, but most of us have way more than we need. Be careful, be safe, don't touch your face and take a moment to recognize all the blessings in your everyday life. There are plenty of places that don't even have toilet paper to buy and hoard. And that's what I think about in this time right now. We get so caught up in the negative things that are happening and the fears and financial insecurity, right? We forget to have a conscious awareness of where we are so blessed and how lucky we are, right? Like, kids are home from school. This is throwing people in a tailspin in a huge way. And I can't even imagine dealing with that. And if it's going to be, you know, extra daycare costs, or are the parents home too? I mean, who knows? Are parents home because they're working remote or because they got laid off? Like, there's a lot of stuff happening right now that's affecting people in a really, really hardcore negative way. But you know what? I would rather have school canceled and have my kids at home than have my kids sick, to have my kids at school with sick teachers, right? I would rather have them home. Like, that to me feels much better. And is it going to be uncomfortable? Of course it is. Is it the end of the world? Absolutely not. So let's talk about a few things that we can do. And this, what I just read, is going to be a number one. How can we really get our mindset in a good place and think about all of those things that we have in our lives to be grateful for, regardless of how difficult stuff is right now, okay? And my sponsor taught me this really early on, probably my first year, maybe my second year sober. And I was freaking out about something because, of course, like a good, unhealthy, emotionally unstable person, I was a drama queen and blew everything out of proportion. And I catastrophized everything, and everything was the end of the world. Like, I was just super dramatic because I was so unhealthy and I couldn't regulate my feelings and I couldn't make sense of them, right? So as soon as I felt something, it just took over my whole body and I was in it. So he said to me, my sponsor says to me one morning, he goes, I want you just to walk around your house and I want you to look at all the things that you have to be grateful for. And he's saying this to me, you know, as I live in a luxury apartment with a ridiculously expensive car in the garage. And, you know, I literally just had everything I could want. And that was his point. He's like, I want you to walk around and I want you to look around your house. I want you to look around your life at all the things you have to be grateful for. He goes, why don't you be grateful for the roof over your head? Some people don't have that. Why don't you be grateful for the food in your refrigerator? Because a lot of people don't have that. He goes, why don't you walk down to your garage and look in there at the car that you have that allows you freedom to go wherever you want and do whatever you want? He goes, why don't you be grateful for that? He said, and while you're at it, while you're walking downstairs to the garage, he goes, why don't you take a minute and be grateful for your body that works for you every day and that takes care of you and allows you the ability to exercise and work and all those things, because many people don't have that, right? And he just went down this list and I was like, holy crap, that's the stuff that I never think about. That's the stuff that I am so selfish and entitled that I actually forget to be grateful for those things. Right? Just like I said in that Facebook post, there are plenty of places in this world that don't even have toilet paper to hoard. Like, let's be grateful for that, that we live in a country where we can walk in a store and buy whatever we want. Let's be honest, you guys, we have a lot to be grateful for. Even in trying times, we have a lot to be grateful for. And then what are some activities you can do in this downtime? You know, what are some things that you can really be doing? Like, challenge yourself to do things differently. I was thinking about how spoiled we've gotten with computers and video games and all of this stuff, right? And I was thinking about when I was a kid and how we were always outside. Like, you couldn't have paid me $1 million to be in the house playing video games, right? We were riding our bikes and climbing trees and going to the swimming pool. I mean, we were outside all day playing, and it was amazing. And I think we need to revert back to some of that, right? I mean, you don't want to take your kids in public places necessarily, but you can definitely go for walks. Later today, I'm going for a walk with one of my guys from Sober Living. We're going to go take a hike. That doesn't cost any money. Our gyms are closed, right? I want exercise because I exercise for my mental health. I exercise to keep my anxiety in check. So we're going to go walk. And by the way, in Kansas City today, it's pouring down rain. And this is Wednesday, March 18th. I'm recording this episode right now just because of everything that's going on in the world. I'm recording a new episode. So it is Wednesday, March 18th. As I am saying this, it is rainy and a little bit cold in KC, and bet your ass we are going for almost a 5-mile hike later this afternoon because I need that. It's free. I'm outside. I don't have to touch anything. I don't have to touch other people. As long as I don't touch my face, I don't think I'm going to get the coronavirus from the wilderness. So do some of those things with your kids. You know, maybe it is going out and riding bicycles with them. You know, whatever. Just think of some things, like get creative. What are some things you can do? I think also tired kids sleep better. So wear them out and use it as an opportunity to wear yourself out. That anything you could do to be outdoors with them, this is a great time with kids to get on Pinterest and get some awesome ideas for different things you can do around the house. You know, really push yourself. What is the stack of books that you've been wanting to read and haven't gotten to because you quote unquote don't have time, right? You know how much I love that excuse. I don't have time. I'm too busy. When you say I don't have time, it just means you don't want to. So maybe look at some of that. Maybe there's, I said this on the Facebook group the other day too, maybe there's an online course you bought that you haven't finished. It's a great time to do that. And if it's my online course, by the way, and you haven't finished, then you better really get your butt over there and finish the course. The Recovery Starter Kit, you better get over there and finish that thing. I'm actually going to start sending emails to everybody that hasn't finished their course because, yeah, you guys drop off at a certain point. So I either need to make it a little more exciting or get on you to finish it. But if you have extra time, it's a great time to get over there, finish any online course. You know, I'm actually thinking about buying a new online course that's pretty intense. And my schedule hasn't been so affected by this stuff, right? I'm still working like a crazy person. But I think I'm going to take the opportunity to bury myself in some things that I've wanted to learn that I haven't had the opportunity to get to, that I couldn't dedicate specific time to. So I think I'm going to do the same thing. Or what are some outside things you can do around your city? Maybe there's some new parks that you want to explore. Maybe there's a vacation destination that you've always dreamed of taking that vacay, but you've never researched it to see, really like get the details, like how much is it going to cost? How long does it take to fly there? How much do flights cost? So maybe this is a great time to sit down, even if you won't be able to do it this year, maybe you plan to do it next year, but sit down with Google and spend some time doing the research and figure out what you would need to do to make that happen. It's so funny to me how often I hear people say, oh, well, I've always wanted to do that. And I'm like, well, what's stopping you? You've always wanted to do it. Go do it. But what stops people, I think more than anything, is they never take the few minutes to sit down and figure out what it would actually take to do the thing that they want to do. So think about that stuff. Are there some classes you've been wanting to take? Are there things you've been wanting to do with your spouse? Like sit down with Google and look at things and figure some things out. Where can you go? You know, start thinking more. Don't get caught up in the fear of now or fear of the future and how it's going to affect you. This is a life coach 101 thing. I want you to be thinking about the good things in the future that you're moving toward. Don't be thinking about the negativity that you want to move away from, right? So I always use the example. This is how I explain this. If I want to lose 5 pounds, I don't sit around and obsess about losing 5 pounds. I don't want to eat that food. I can't eat that. I can't have any of that. No, don't focus on the negative, right? And the deprivation. What I focus on is, oh my God, it's going to feel so good to slide into those jeans that I haven't been able to wear for 6 months because I lost that 5 pounds. And that's what I visualize, is putting those jeans on and how they fit perfectly. And I'm buttoning them right up with no struggle. That's what you think about, what you're moving toward. Don't get caught up in obsessing about the negative. Think about the positive. So think about, what are some things you want to be doing? What are some things you want to incorporate in your life? And this is a perfect time to start learning about that stuff. And what would it take? And how much money would it cost to do the big thing that you want to do? And what's a plan that you can put together to start saving some money to accomplish that, right? Like there's a million things you can do. Just don't get caught up in the negative, okay? And then the next piece of this I want to put a little energy in is the anxiety, because I can only imagine people are having a ton of anxiety. As addicted people, we are anxiety-ridden by nature. It's just how our brains are wired. It's one of the things that makes getting sober so hard, is we have all this anxiety. And I did a whole episode about anxiety, so you might want to reference back to that for some good tips. But you know my absolute favorite tip for managing anxiety, and I think it is so simple that people just don't do it. Like, it's so easy that you just assume it's not going to work, so you don't do it. And it's one of the greatest things you can do. Deep belly breaths, okay? You guys, this is science, right? I'm not making this shit up. It's science. They tell you about breath, and there's a whole thing called breath work, and there's a whole piece of yoga about breathing. They tell you this because it's real. You know, they're not just making it up to feed the hype and make you take more yoga classes. This is an actual thing. So don't brush it off because it seems too easy or it seems stupid or you need something bigger to believe that it will actually work. It works. Stop arguing, sit your buns down, and do some deep belly breaths. And what I mean by deep belly breaths is you want to inhale and you want to breathe all the way down to your belly button and watch your belly expand with air. That's a deep belly breath, okay? Don't take a deep breath and keep it sitting in your chest, because that actually makes anxiety worse. Breathe all the way down to your belly button, feel your belly expand, and then breathe out, okay? If you can do this 3 to 4 times at any moment that you aren't feeling great, it will change your life. I do this all day, every day. Anytime that I'm starting to get a little anxious about something, I will sit down and do deep belly breaths, and then I will refocus my thoughts on the positive things like we just talked about a minute ago. Those are two great things that you can do, right? I will always get myself in gratitude, like, okay, this sucks right now, but man, am I grateful that this day is about to come to an end. You know, if I'm having a really stressful day, things aren't going my way, or somebody pisses me off, whatever, that might be my gratitude, is thank God this day is coming to an end and I have a fresh start tomorrow, you know, and tomorrow will be better. So deep belly breaths, one of the best things you can do for anxiety. And I don't care if you have to do it 800 times a day, just do it. And then refocus your thoughts to the positive things, right? Refocus your thoughts to gratitude, all the good things you have in your life, all the people that you love. One of the cool things I have a lot of my clients do is something I call a bliss list. And this is a really great tool also. I will have my clients sit down and write out 25 things that make them smile the instant they think about it, right? That's a bliss list. It just brings you bliss the second it pops into your head. So of course, for me, all of my nieces and nephews are on there, especially the little baby ones now. And my dog, of course, Henry, is a number one. Like, the minute I think about him is all smiles. And if I'm away from him, a little bit of sadness, but I love him. Also scuba diving. That's another one for me. You know, I have been a scuba diver for many, many years. I love it. I've traveled the world to dive. It's an incredible thing to be a part of. So I think about the ocean and diving, being on a dive boat, right? That brings an instant smile to my face. So what are those things for you? You know, what are the things that you put on your bliss list? And maybe take a minute and write them down. This is a great activity. Get your family to do it. Sit down and write a bliss list with your spouse or partner or kids or whoever. Write a bliss list. Because when you start to get caught up in anxiety or you start feeling a little sad and fearful, you can yank out that list and go, oh, damn, look, all this stuff makes me smile. And you just feel a little bit better. I also have people curate their social media to support happiness, okay? So this is another thing you can do. I do this. This is how I got obsessed with Instagram, to be honest, because I went on and Instagram is so fast and easy just to scroll through. And that's exactly what I like, you know, fast and easy. I don't want it to take a ton of time. I don't want it to be difficult. I don't want to have to read a bunch of stuff. So I curated my Instagram feed to be full of all of these accounts. I follow all these accounts that are really awesome sober people, people in recovery, and it's amazing. So when I'm feeling bummed, or for you guys, if you're getting mad at your anxiety or mad at your alcoholism or mad at your sobriety, right, pop on Insta and scroll through. Some of these people are freaking hysterical, by the way. I follow some Instagram accounts that are hysterical. I love these people. But I have a pretty twisted sense of humor, so maybe that's not you, but it's definitely me. And of course, the more F-bombs, the better, because it's just how I communicate best, so I appreciate that. But I can pop on there, and when I follow all the right people that fit my personality and my sense of humor, and I also follow some people that are pretty serious. I tend to be pretty serious and inspirational and motivational, and that tends to be more my thing. I'm not as fun or funny as other people in that way. So I have some of those kind of people too, but I can jump on my Instagram and I can scroll through my feed, and it's all of this really great stuff that just brings a smile to my face, right? It brings me back front and center to what I'm focused on, what's important to me, what I'm doing, why the work I'm doing is important. It just brings me back to center instead of being one way or the other, anxiety or fear or depression, wherever I'm going off track. It brings me back to center, right? And that's a super easy thing that you can do. You can do the same thing on Facebook. Curate who you follow to feed you, right? Feed your soul, feed the comedic side of yourself, feed the serious side of yourself, whatever you need. Follow the right people so that when you jump on that feed, it gives you what you need. It's so important. Like I have to start... A long time ago, I started like silencing people. What do they call it on Facebook? Mute. I think they call it mute. You can mute people so you don't see their posts because of all this political stuff. Like I really got so disappointed in American kind when in the last election. Like I just cannot believe how ugly and nasty people got to each other. Like it's just amazing to me. I thought the whole point of living in America is that we can think whatever we want and have whatever opinion we want. And I don't need anybody to agree with me or give me their stamp of approval on what I believe, right? And everybody was just so disgusting and hateful toward each other. So let me tell you, I muted the shit out of some people during that stuff. I don't even care about my own opinion that much. I promise you, I don't care about everybody else's, especially if it's negative. I just don't invite a lot of negativity into my life. I don't have time for it. I don't have energy for it. For what we want to accomplish on a daily basis, you guys hear me say this line all the time, for what we want to accomplish on a daily basis, my energy has to be top notch. So if people are on Facebook bitching and complaining and calling each other names and whatever they're doing in any arena, whether it's politics or something else, I don't want to be any part of it. I don't want that negative energy to touch my energy. So I will mute fools. Like I can't cope. I don't want any of that stuff, right? So curate your social media feeds to be what you need to keep you in a good, healthy place. That's a super simple thing you can do. Okay, what else do we say? Make the bliss list. Okay, stay positive, focused in your thoughts. Think about the things you want to move toward rather than the negativity you want to get away from. Think about the positivity you're moving toward, what you want to accomplish. And deep belly breaths, right? I think those are all the ones that we talked about so far. I'm doing this totally off the cuff. Again, I have no notes. So if I get a little wacky, please bear with me. I'll try to bring it together somehow. Okay, anyway, I think those have been some really, really good places to start. The last thing I want to emphasize, okay, and this is for happiness, for anxiety, whatever, get out and get moving. I cannot stress this enough, you guys. This is a brain issue. If you want your brain to be happy and work well for you, exercise. I don't care if you go for a walk around the block, put your kids in some strollers, your dogs on a leash, put your older kids on their little bicycles with their training wheels, or even older ones on their bicycles without training wheels, and go out and walk. It is free. It is not going to catch you the virus. Don't touch anything. Don't touch people. Don't give hugs. Don't touch your face. But get moving. It is the single most important thing that you can do, especially for anxiety. There are all kinds of studies out there showing that exercise is more successful than any antidepressant or anti-anxiety medication, right? The problem is we're lazy. The problem is you'd rather pop a pill than get off your butt and go for a walk. That's the problem. I used to be the same way. So get moving. This is a great time. If your kids are home, go do some stuff outside. Do some stuff in the yard. You know, run some races with them. Or what are the things we used to do? I was just thinking, like, when I was in grade school, and we would have this thing like field day. And we would run, you know, like you would run so far with the baton and then you had to hand it to the next runner and they would run. Like, that's some fun stuff you can be doing with your kids in your own yard that doesn't cost a dime. Or do it with your partner if you don't have kids. I mean, whatever. Have some fun. Get on Google. Look at some different ways to have some fun. Different projects you can do in the house. Create a vision board. This is a beautiful time to create a vision board. So many people probably have stacks of magazines everywhere. Get those magazines. Cut things out. Make a vision board. Right? Jump on Pinterest. Look at some crafts you can do with your kids or do yourself. You know, start making all those photo albums that you've always talked about putting together but never did. I mean, you guys, really, the list is endless. Google it. Google knows everything. Okay? That's all you have to do. And again, I'm going to say this one more time. You guys, jump in that Facebook group. If you haven't joined the Facebook group, get over there because we are going to be doing free online meetings. Like I said, I'm going to be doing a couple a day as people are interested. If nobody is interested, if nobody's responding to my posts, I'm not going to schedule them because I'm not going to set the time aside out of my schedule to show up and be the only one there. But if people are interested, I will do as many as you guys need, right? And I will be there and I have some other people that can run groups if we have to do a lot of groups. I definitely have a team and we can handle all that stuff. But if this is a time that you want some support, especially if you don't want it to be any AA or SMART or Celebrate Recovery, if you don't want it to be specific to any of those programs, I don't do specific to any of those programs. I have my own rules. I do it my own damn way. And that's just who I am. So if you want to be a part of that, jump over to the Facebook group, join that, and we will keep doing that as long as we need to. In closing, the last thing I want to say about this too is, as of yesterday, they were already testing a vaccination, right, in some clinical trials. So I want you to keep that in mind also, that this whole situation may come to an end much quicker than we expected, right? They have teams of people working on this. We are taking incredible measures to keep the spread of this managed as much as humanly possible. And hopefully it will end a little more peacefully than we were originally thinking. And then maybe I'll be able to buy some toilet paper again. Okay. Because all you toilet paper hoarders, I had to spend $100 on toilet paper for my sober living houses because I have 17 boys to manage in sober living and they're going to run out of toilet paper. I had to spend $100 on Amazon for toilet paper. So I do not appreciate you toilet paper hoarders. But I do look forward to the day that I can just walk in the store and buy toilet paper again. That's what we're all looking forward to now, is just more toilet paper. All right. I hope you guys are having a fantastic day. Jump in the Facebook group. Let's do some online meetings. I can't wait to meet you guys. Let's have some fun. Let's make the most of a really scary situation. And let's stay positive and keep doing those deep belly breaths. And I love you guys, and I'll see you next week.
You've reached the end of another great episode of the Addiction Unlimited podcast, candid and honest conversation about addiction and recovery. Be sure to visit us at addictionunlimited.com to join the conversation and access show notes and links to everything we talked about. Love this episode? Please take 30 seconds to subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes to help us improve and give you the information you want. Thanks for listening. See you next week.